Up here because I always hear myself anyway. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can get into your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come with our ears open to hear what you have to say to bring you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as always, I always like to say that it's quite an honor. And I feel when Pastor asked me to share his pulpit, it's quite a responsibility for him. So, I thank him for that, Miss Anita. You know, when Miss Anita was talking about having a nice building, it came to mind. I remember when we were in London, our pastor had been invited overseas, and he was sharing there for a little bit and gone around to a couple of churches, and they were building this new one. He said it wasn't very big, but he said the floor had a little sheen to it. It was a little bit different color. And he said he remembers, he asked one of the guys, "What is that floor made out of?" And the guy goes, "Cow dung." He's like, "What?" He goes, "Cow dung. They pack it down, dry it out really hard, and then they put some sort of coating on it." And he was dead serious. And I'm thinking, at least we're standing on tile and cement. So good. But, you know, you meet wherever God wants you to meet. Amen? So I do have a title tonight because I know I missed last time. I wanted to call it The Power of Your Word. But then I said, let us pass over, or because it's based on Mark 4. And Kathy's like, "Oh, I like that one better." So being a good married man, I'm going to call it, Let Us Pass Over, because that way you don't get in trouble. Amen? So, it's going to look at Mark 4:35 for a second, and most of this is just going to be King James. The young lady at the back there is like, "What are you using?" I said, "I think King James, because that's the only Bible I brought, but we can change it up if need be." But Mark 4, I have it written down, but I always like to go to my Bible. It's kind of old school. I was thinking that. You see all the other guys come up and they got their iPads and their phones and stuff. And I still like paper and typing and stuff like that. So Mark 4:35 says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Even as he was in the ship. "And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him. And he said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, I know what we've looked at this scripture a few times. I know it gets shared a lot about passing over, but I'm going to break it down a little bit more because, as we know, storms come. When we live in life, storms come. I know on Sunday we had sang that song. And with the chorus, and I had asked Lisa, I said, "Can you do that Wednesday night as well?" In the middle of a storm, right? Because we all have storms. Storms come. And the thing is, what we have to realize is, it's not being in doubt to be aware that storms will come. Just remember that there's tactics of diversion. These are just tactics of diversion from the enemy. Jesus said, "We're going to pass over." Storm came. And that's what we're going to look at. Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the word out of you. Because you got to realize, if you start at Mark 1 and go all the way through, he taught them all day long. He talks about sowing into soil, talks about sowing the seed, which is the word, into people's hearts and men's hearts. He taught them all day long. And that's why I think at the end he says, "Why are you such a little faith? I've been with you all day teaching." One little thing acts up and right? So, but what it is, we have to control and how we respond to the storms. Well, the decisions that we make in the storm, we can remain calm and at rest, relying on the word that's been sown in our hearts, amen? We have to rely on the word that's been sown, or we can submit to fear and allow the storm or circumstances to take up us course. So we're going to look at Mark 4 a little bit more about that. But I love verse 14. If you go back to Mark 4:14, he said, "The sower soweth the word." That's the biggest thing right there, and he talks about that with the parables when they said, we don't understand what you mean. He said, the sower soweth the word. He's the sower at this point, and he's sowing the word. And I love the fact that when he gets up, he rebukes the wind, calms the storm, and they marvel. He spoke with authority. He understood who he was. He also spoke with confidence. You know, Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith is also having strong confidence in who he is, strong confidence in the word. So we got to realize that if we want to speak with the voice of authority in our lives when the storms come, we have to speak the word. Amen? We have to understand the word. We have to get into the word. We have to understand the word and how it's in our lives. So releasing the voice of authority against the enemy and all his maneuvers and operations. So I'm going to look at where it says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The word for waves means to be pregnant, to swell, to bend, curve, and billow as if bursting or toppling. These waves are calling all to lose their balance and their focus. And that's what the storms do come in our lives, is they come against us over and over and over. Sometimes it seems like just as something goes good as a Christian, we're going along, and all of a sudden something happens again. Oh, and then again. You know, we've all had it every day, not every day, but in our lives, storms come. Sometimes it could be something small, insignificant, but sometimes they can become big. And the thing is, what we got to realize is that the enemy is always going to try and get us off course. Always. Once you're saved, he doesn't want you to become a sower, to sow the word in somebody else's life. He doesn't want you to sit there and rely on God. He doesn't want you to sit there and rest in him. Amen? He wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He wants you to do all these things, because when you do, then it's not a good witness to the other people. Right? So, you know, because once you're saved kind of thing, you know. He can't do nothing once you're saved except affect your witness for those around you. Every time Paul went to preach the gospel, he said he had persecutions that came against him, against him, against him, against him. But he also said the Lord deliver us out of them all. Amen? So the word beat also means, because it says that the waves beat. The word beat means to superimpose, throw upon, stretch forth, think upon, but it also carries the thought to strike in continual waves with repeated, relentless blows. So this was not just a little, they're out in a boat, a little wave came. This was a relentless storm that came. And I'm going to look at another word. It means it came out of the blue instantly. Because you got to realize, he had fishermen with him. And you, as you know, if you're out, you can usually tell if the storm's coming. Something like this came up instantly, quick. Caught even the fishermen off guard. But the word beat, this word for beat also refers to a person or personality. So we know that Satan was the personality behind the storm, trying to get Jesus off course. He didn't want Jesus to pass over to the other side. You know, and it's the fact that we know that we don't rule, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against rules, principality, and darkness, according to Ephesians. But you know, it's amazing that he will try and do what he can to get you off course. He doesn't want you to get to your destination. He doesn't want you to get to your ministry and what God's called into you. Not necessarily full-time ministry. Like I say, if you're the best worker where you are, and you're living your life, and you're walking in peace, you're just being a witness. He doesn't like that. He wants you to tumble and to stall, to fall, and to get blown off course, so that those around you are like, see, what good is God? What does he do? Why are you any different? When you get word that you're going to have a problem at work or there's a layoff and you're in fear like the other guy, we're not supposed to be the same as those that are around us that don't know him. Amen? Those that know God will be powerful and do exploits. Staying in peace, staying in your rest is an exploit. Staying in a place of provision where God can provide to you, not just finances, but provide peace, to provide courage, to not have any swaying. You know what? It doesn't matter how much the boat sways. Jesus was asleep. He wasn't concerned. So either he's a really, really deep sleeper, he knew the boat would never collapse, he knew that he was going to the other side. Or maybe he went to sleep thinking, if something happens, my partners will look after it. And they were like, aha, wake him up. Look what, master, what happened? What do you not care? I just spent hours with you teaching you. What do you mean, do you not care? You know, it's like, you know, so, you know, I love it. In Mark 4:37, it says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship that was in the full. Arose here means to cause to be generated, come into being. It was a sudden and unseen force at work, like out of the blue. Just out of the blue. It came. And I love it because in 4:39, it says that he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. This word arose means to wake up fully, raise and stir up. Its root is to also gather in the chief meeting place, town square, or market. So you're rising with a purpose, collecting one's faculties to awaken from sleep or from lying down. I love it because there are times that when we go through storms that we have to, in our mind, go to the chief meeting place, get to an understanding. I have to have a meeting with the one who's in charge. Lord, what are we doing here? I have to get into a place of a meeting. Okay, there's a storm in my life. What does the word say? Amen? We have to realize we have to awake from our slumber and get into a place. What does the word say? You know, it's like with us, you know, I shared a couple weeks ago that we got married. We decided we're going to get out of debt. So we got out of debt. A couple years later, we got back in debt. Then we got out of debt again because we had to have a chief meeting of ourselves and we had to learn how to renew our mind and not live like we used to live because that's how we used to live. And we had to get to the point that, you know what, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do these. And there's principles in the word that we learned so that we could be free. And it's awesome because there are things in our life that when another storm came, the boat was okay. Because we didn't have, like this last year, when, well, even a couple years ago, I got laid off for a couple of months. Somebody's like, oh, you get laid off a lot there. But that's okay. I know God's called me there. But you know, when you get a layoff, and like I said, there's people at work were a little bit concerned, and one guy's like, you going to be okay? I said, yeah. I said, I have, God's my provider. The job never was my provider. It's always been my seed bag, and he'll give me another seed bag. And the guy's like, you're weird. Oh, I'm a peculiar person, the Bible says. But, you know, but it's also that even in the natural aspect, when your finances change and you have no mortgage to pay, it's a nice place to be in. You can dip into your savings and not be too concerned. We didn't have to run around until after about 8 months. Then it's like, what are we going to do now? No. You know, but because I've been there. I've been there at jobs where we first got married and you get laid off. You're like, oh, what am I going to do? The Lord said the same thing you did when you had money. Trust me. Right? So we had to change ourselves. We had to change what we said. Also, we had to change ourselves. So we need to speak with authority. Romans 5:17. I try not to go off notes tonight. Oh, there we go. Look at that. For by one man's offense, death reigned. By one, much more, which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know that, I love this, because it says, for one man's offense, death reigned. By one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace. That's you, that's me, amen? We've received abundance of grace, and we've received the gift of righteousness, amen? So now we may rule and reign in our life because of Jesus, right? You can rule and reign in your life. You have authority in your life. The enemy has no authority in your life. He has no authority in your life. When your kids are under your house, he has no authority in your life. Amen? We have to stop letting him have authority in our lives, whether it be our finances, whether it be our health, whether it be whatever it is. He has no authority in a believer's life. Amen? You realize that when Adam, so God, I'll get to it a little bit, but you know, the Bible says in Genesis, God spoke. He said, light be, light was. Then he called, you right? He called the plants out of the earth, called the fish out of the sea, called the birds out of the air. Spoke. It happened. Spoke. It happened. Then he made man. Let us make man in our image. And he made man. Then he built him a body, breathed into him, he became a living being. Do you realize that after that, God never spoke anything to existence again? Everything he did, he spoke to a man, and a man had to speak it. It's like Ezekiel. He spoke to the army. Army never happened until Ezekiel spoke. He wanted a virgin to conceive, so he had to speak to a prophet who had to say, a virgin is going to conceive. And he had to speak to men. That's why prophecy in the Old Testament was so important. Because once he gave dominion to Adam, God cannot move on this earth unless a man speaks. He can't go against his own rules. Well, God can do anything. Yeah, God stays within his own rules as well, his own confines. He said, Adam, here's the dominion. This earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Everything in it is yours. And Adam said, okay, Satan. That's why Satan is trying to take the word and the seed sown out of our mouths. Because the only thing that stops him is the church. God will not move unless a man prays. I think it's George, somebody, one of those older preachers said that. John Wesley, thank you. I was way off. John Wesley. But God won't move because he can't. Like I said, the example of the house. We had a rental house. I'm renting it out. It's my house. Pay the mortgage. We pay the water. We pay the insurance. I cannot go in the house unless I ask permission or there's an emergency. Right? That's the law. I cannot go into my own house. My name's on it. But somebody's leasing it. Adam has a lease on this earth. That's why it's so important that we need to speak the word, especially in our own lives and those around us. Amen? You know, so I like Romans 10:8 says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Nigh thee means close. The word is close to you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. God's way of doing things is within you. What's God's way of doing things? God spoke and God saw. God spoke and God saw. So now it's up to us to speak and see, right? And Isaiah says, I'm not sure if I have it there. In Isaiah, there's a scripture and it says, when are these things created? They are not created at the beginning, but they are created now. And he's talking to a prophet. God says they are created now when you speak. They had to be created when we speak. And when we speak, and sometimes you don't have to get all spiritual. Ooh. Our house manifested in our lives when we bought it, when we thought, when we went out and said, I think we should buy a house. We talked about it first. We didn't just show up and, look what I bought, honey. We talked about it. We had a discussion. We spoke about it. Like that has to be a spiritual thing, right? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go on our trip? You do it every day. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It's better when it is, and something's coming against you, then you get to the word. But we got to realize that we need to speak with authority, and we need to speak with confidence, authority and confidence, because our faith is based on the word. Matthew 8:8-10. The centurion answered. This is when he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. I used to think, what was so great about his faith other than believing Jesus? He said to Jesus, speak the word only. He understood the authority. He said, I say to my soldier, go. And he goes. He understood what Jesus was getting at. He understood the authority of speaking the word. That's why Jesus marveled. I haven't seen this.
in my children or my people with a covenant, I haven't seen this kind of faith. It's from a guy who just heard me. Just say the word, Lord. Just say it. It'll be good.
You know, it's exciting, the fact that we get to speak with authority. Now, you don't have to bring it up. It's going to go quick. Matthew 7, 28 to 9 says, "And it shall come to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. When he ended his sayings, he taught or sounded as one that has authority."
They understood it. They started to see something different about him. Luke 4, 32 says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." We got to realize that our words need to have power. When we have a storm, when the enemy tries to take us out, what we do is not just about praying, it's about saying, amen? You know, we're a faith group. Yes, but we need to realize that we need to speak what the word says, amen?
We have to understand that we need to have confidence and understanding in what the word is. So in these instances, Jesus was demonstrating and releasing the voice of authority on the earth. Biblical confession, or proper use of right words, is based on scriptural truth. It's a biblical principle. It's a biblical principle and a spiritual reality rooted in God himself, because God spoke and God saw. He speaks the desired end of the result. Isaiah 46, 10 to 11b, I'll stop at 11b, says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Yea, I have spoken it, I also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." He speaks what he wants. He doesn't speak. Sometimes and that's what we need to do as believers, we need to speak what we want. We need to speak the desired result. Doctor says, "You got a report, you got whatever it is, I'm healed." What's what I want is healing. I'm healed. Amen? We got to speak the desired result. I thank you, Lord, that I am debt free. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that I'm delivered. I thank you, Lord, that I am set free because of him. And then we got to find a scripture we get into. So we got to realize that we need to speak with authority and we got to be like God. You're not God. Well, we are like God. We are made in his image. We are life-speaking spirits made in the image or the imagination of God. You know what it says that we are became like him? And I think it's Romans. One of the words is poema. It's Greek. And it's the same as a poem, that we are like him. It's amazing when we understand the concept and the reality of what we have. You know, when we were this last year, like, you know, being out of work and stuff like that, and we had to settle that where I was. But near the end, I said, I think I'm going to start, you know. So I start doing some applications, doing some resumes. And she goes, "Do you not believe that's where your job is?" So I hate getting rebuked from my wife, as we all do. I'm like, she goes, "Do you not believe? Do you feel a release from there yet?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Okay." So a couple of days later, I'm going by. I said, "I got a resume I'm going to drop off." And she goes, "Squirrel." You remember that? Dog, right? Dog goes along, and he'll be walking, all of a sudden a squirrel will run past, and dog goes, "Whoop, squirrel, squirrel." She's like, "Squirrel." I'm like, "Well, be quiet. Be quiet." So I'm like, "Fine." And you know what? We were okay, because God looked after us. Amen? But it's amazing, because, it's just, well, God was awesome last year anyway. So God has employed this method of declaring the end from the beginning in every aspect of his kingdom. God has determined from ancient times that the things he wants to come into existence will be voiced from his originating authority. Because he has authority, but now because of Adam, he has to speak now through you. He wants you to speak it out, right? He wants you to release the authority on the earth. That's what we have to do as believers. We speak the authority on the earth. We will get what we say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Then he always gives you the answer, right? Choose life. In the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why he wants the seeds to be sown in our heart. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like Brother Hagin says, you can always, if you're praying for somebody, you can always locate them by what they say.
right? Or their prayer of agreement. Okay, let's come into agreement. You know, I've had people say, let's agree on prayer. Like, okay. So you pray and they're like, you agree on that? Well, so there's no agreement, right? Find your scripture, like Pastor says. If you're going to meet with somebody and agree with somebody, tell them to find your scripture. What scripture do you have? It's your storm. What scripture are you standing on? I'll come in agreement. I'll help you find a scripture, but you need a scripture to stand on. Amen? That's the difference with when the logos become flesh. It becomes a rhema to us. We have to understand what the scripture is. What's the scripture God's given you? We have to... So confession isn't merely something God does. It's contained within the very nature of who he is and how he lives. He speaks things out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? And the Word became flesh. You know, and even Hebrews says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So how is your world going to be framed? By you. You can't speak in my life. You can't rule in my life. I have to rule in my life, right? That's why it's so important what you say to kids or children when they're growing up. If you tell the wrong thing to somebody all the time, you will crush them inside. Because words are so important, right? You can do terrible things to children or to people by saying the wrong things. Words are so important. It's because they're very containers of life. You know, I like that in 2 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. How do you fight? We know we fight in the arena of our faith. Pastor tells us that. Where do you fight? In the arena of my faith. I have to fight in my faith. Right? But how do I fight? I have professed a good profession. How do I fight? Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm set free. Thank you, Lord, that I'm victorious. Thank you, Lord, that I'm whatever you need to be. Amen? You have to fight in the arena of your faith, and you have to say it, what you want. You have to declare a thing. That's why Jesus says, the Father knows what you need when you ask. You still have to ask. Well, God knows what I need. But Jesus said that you have to ask because you have to activate it by what you say. You know, it's like, you know, when you hear people and sometimes you get into talking with the group and something had happened and somebody's like, well, everything happens for a reason. I hate it when people say that. Everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And something had happened, and I was like, well, maybe the reason was she was homesick, so she went home. What? I said, it doesn't mean God can't use that. It doesn't mean that God told somebody to go somewhere, and then God called them to go somewhere else, and then God called them to go somewhere else. It'd be like me getting it, you know, all of a sudden I said to Kathy, I got a job in Atticoke, and so we're moving to Atticoke, and let's go. Well, God told you, I thought God told you to face these churches. Well, I guess he changed his mind because I lost my job. Well, it doesn't make sense. Either I'm called to Faith City Church in Thunder Bay or I'm not. This is where we're called. Whether I'm working at Bombardier or McDonald's. Because, you know, I can work at McDonald's and still be prosperous. Right? I've crafted dollars. You can flip burgers and be a millionaire. Because, like I said, my seed bag, it's all my seed bag. God's my provider. My job's never been my provider. We've been looked after so amazing this last year. It's amazing. People, you know, the Pentecostal handshakes, money just coming in. And it's just like, awesome. It's awesome. And it's like, thank you, Lord. But God knows we had need, but we had to speak it. Thank you, Lord, that I'm prosperous. I thank you, Lord, that our bills are paid. I thank you, Lord, that my job is there. It took a long time to manifest, but it manifested. Right? Like I said, you know, we were talking in healing class. Sometimes people think healing needs instant. There. No. Sometimes it takes a while. Right? It took a while for you to get yourself sometimes in trouble. So sometimes it takes a while to get out of trouble. Right? You know, if it happened instantly, then it'd be a miracle. It wouldn't be a healing. It says the lepers that on their way, they were healed. as they went, right? It takes time for things to manifest. But the thing is, are you going to lose your confession? And that's where sometimes we pray for something, we thank the Lord, and then it doesn't happen tomorrow, we wake up, well, I guess so. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what James is, I think it's James. Unstable in all his ways. You know, it's like we knew somebody that was going to a church, and it was a good church, and then she got a report. Got a report about cancer. So she started going to these healing meetings. So she'd go healing meetings, awesome. She'd get her face stirred up, and then she'd go back to her church. And, yeah, but you know, God doesn't always, this doesn't always happen. Then she'd go there, she'd get her faith all built up, and then she'd go back to her church and start planning her funeral. Then she'd go here, get her faith all built up, then she'd go back to her church, and she'd talk about what she wanted for her kids when she died. You know what happened? She died. Because her faith was built on this. Because that was ingrained in her for years. But not on this, because she didn't stick with this. It's like, if your faith is built up here, why would you go back there? I'm set free from nicotine. Why would I go back to smoking again? Not to be condemning, because it happened. Why I did it, I still don't know. Got free from nicotine, started smoking again. Sitting around a campfire, I'll have one of those. It's like, oh. But it's like smoking. Come on, people say it's hard to quit. It's hard to smoke. First time you have one, let's have another one anyway. And I don't know why I had the second one. Or the pack. Anyway, but then that was gone in a very short time. But even the Bible says, right, sometimes we're like the dog will go back to his own vomit. And he warns us, don't be like that, right? Don't be like that. So the enemy is always trying to take the word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, it's out of time already. So we're just going to realize that if you want to change the scenery in your life, this is the one on page 5, Kelsey. I left her a note, too, but I'm just, because I got here and I didn't have a digital copy where I can change it around. I was like, oh, okay. You must change what's coming out of your mouth. There are times you have to make your life be still before you can see any changes in your circumstances. I love the word where it says that Jesus stilled. Use the word still. It means to muzzle. Your voice of authority will muzzle the voices of opposition and suppress the voice of the enemy. And I love it. It means muzzle. Jesus used muzzle. Muzzle the storm. I'm going to muzzle it. It's nothing, you know. And I like it. I was talking to my wife about that. She goes, you know, she goes, muzzle just doesn't mean that the dog's quiet. It just means the dog can't bite you. Or the dog can't eat either. But if a dog's got a muzzle, it can still go, right? But he muzzled the storm. So your storm might still be there, but it's got a muzzle. Like the enemy comes about like a roaring lion, seeing who can devour. But when he comes to you, he's going to have a muzzle on because he can't devour you, right? He's got to speak it. And I love it. I just want to wrap up. I'm going to go here because we are like Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not what I'm saying. But the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this life. What was he? He was a man that spoke with authority. He was a man that had right standing with God. That's me. He was a man that's at the right hand of the Father. That's me, because I'm in him, right? He's a man that comes boldly to the throne of grace. That's us. He was intimate with the Father. We don't have to stand at the gates of heaven praying, oh, Lord, hear me. Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on, sit on my lap. Paul says, Daddy, Abba. Dad says, come on. Come on. My kid's 35. He'll be 36 next year. Next week. I still kiss him on his head when I see him. Good night. Hey, come here. Come here. And he's like, you know. He's not as tall as me, so I can still do it. Anyway, I'm going to go to Psalm. Can you go to Psalm 107:28? Because he spoke to the seas, and then he spoke to the aftermath with the aftermath of the storm. It says, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. 29, he maketh the storm calm, so that the waves are still. 30, and then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. Storms come, and they wake them up. Jesus goes, I can speak Psalm 107:28-30, because he knew the word. He had a word. I have a word from God that I can speak into this situation. Not just the let us pass over, but he had the answer when the problem came. Right?
He also, Psalm 93, 3 to 4 says, said, peace. The voice of the Lord is like many waters and much greater in volume. His voice is higher and mightier than the voice of many waters and mightier than the waves of the sea. We can also have confidence that during our storms, our circumstances try, and our voice will be mightier than the storm and the waves that are coming around us. And I like it, the fact that, you know, you think that he rebuked the storm, he had an answer from the word. When the storm came, he had an answer. And we also have an answer from the word. Amen. We have to realize that we speak with the voice of authority, and that we have to have confidence in the word. We have to realize that when we stand and speak the word, that the enemy has to flee. He has to flee. If you don't know how to sing in your storm, then shout. Shout the word. That's why I love the songs that we sing, because they're singing songs based on the word. If you're not sure about something, you know, these days it's easy to pull out a word, because you go on your phone and you go, yeah, go ahead. And it's like, because it's there. Find a scripture. And it doesn't matter if you confess it and you don't think about it. Like Pastor says, confess it, till it goes from here to here. Amen. How did you get saved? By speaking, Romans says. Confess with your heart, believe with your mouth, Jesus Christ and Lord, you shall be saved. Our whole thing started with a confession of faith. And why do we stop that after we get saved? Why do we run around not knowing what to say? We have to have an understanding. You know, T.D. Jakes, and don't take it the wrong way, I remember T.D. Jakes years ago said sometimes the church has spiritual speech impediment, because people that are born deaf, because they hear on the, they don't hear properly inside, you can tell when they speak. Sometimes we don't hear properly on the inside, so we don't say the right things because we don't have an understanding. We need to understand what the word says. I have a couple more points, but it's 10 after almost, so it's but we have to have an understanding, amen, that we understand what the word says. So why don't you stand for a second? I got a couple confessions
to close with. I don't know how to put them on PowerPoint.
I didn't have time to ask the young lady in the back, though.
So why don't you say this after me? Say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, permeating his life through my veins, sending healing throughout my body. It's based on Romans 8. Another one. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And therefore, I will not allow sin, sickness, or disease to lord over me. Amen.
So just remember, when you go forth, if you're not sure, just be careful what you say. Because you will get what you say, good or bad. Children of Israel complained, said, We can't take the land. We can't take the land. We should die in the wilderness. You know what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. God will give you what you say, good or bad. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We always think about good, right? He's the high priest of our profession. Be careful what we say. Amen. As you're standing, I'm going to say a prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can go forth from here, Lord, speaking words of life over our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can go from here realizing that we have your word within us and the kingdom of God dwells within us. And we just thank you for that, that we speak words that bring you honor and bring us life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just for a second,
Father, I just want to ask if anybody's doesn't know Jesus, I think all the faces look familiar. If you've never confessed him as Lord, just put your hand up, and it's a very, very simple confession. If you're online, if you don't know him, Lord, like I said in Romans, it just says, just repeat after me. Father, I thank you that your son came. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that he died for me. And I invite Jesus into my life now. to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that, see one of the ushers. If you did that, let us online. We'll send you some gifts and find a good church if you're not in Thunder Bay. If you're in Thunder Bay, come here. Amen. Be released. And don't forget, Sunday at 10:30.